You are listening to A True Gospel Perspective from our pastor, the Pastor Charles D. Twyman. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
To read all of 15 in your own time for the background of the message. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
Yes, sir.
O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, be ye steadfast,
yes, sir,
unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Our message is entitled this morning, Living Raptured Ready.
Preach, Pastor.
Living Raptured Ready. By this time, I'm sure that if you've been in church for any time, you should know there is a rapture coming. While the word rapture is not in the Bible, it simply means that Jesus is going to catch away his church. So what would you do different if you were certain without any doubt that Jesus was coming this day to rapture all those who believed in him? If he was coming tonight, would you do something different than you normally do on Sunday? If you knew that this was the last day of your life, would you try to live it differently than you have? Perhaps if you heard on the news, because you know some of you believe the news more than you believe the Bible. Amen. But if you heard on the news that in 30 days a meteorite was coming to destroy this earth as we knew it, would the next 30 days be differently lived than the last 30 days? Would you do something different? Would you live holier? Would you be kinder and sweeter to some people? Would you be willing to forgive other people who owe you money? Amen. Would you forgive those who you've been angry with? Would you call all of your loved ones and talk to them and tell them to get their life together because Jesus is coming? Would you then be a witness for the Lord if you knew that in a certain amount of time the Lord indeed was coming? No matter how crazy it may sound, you'd be willing to tell everybody who would listen to you to get their life together because Jesus is coming. Would you be differently if you knew that? Well, why don't you do it? Because Jesus is coming back. We don't know the day or the time or the hour. No man knows, the Bible said, but you need to get ready. The Lord is coming soon. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth concerning the resurrection. There are some that have said there is no resurrection, and Paul wanted to beg their difference. And what he writes here is concerning a time in history that has not come yet, that we indeed shall be raptured. It's a mystery, he says. It was a mystery in the Old Testament. What was concealed is now being revealed. He said, we shall not all sleep. In other words, we shall not all die. There will be some living at the time, but don't worry about those who have died previously in the Lord. He said, but we all shall be changed. The dead and the living shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, as quick as that. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. They shall be changed. They shall put on incorruption. And we in these mortal bodies, we shall be changed, and we'll put on immortality. Yes, when this happens, it says, death is swallowed up in victory, because our victory will be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And death will not have the victory, and the grave will not have its victory or sting anymore, but we will be changed, raptured, caught up to be with the Lord. Paul writes elsewhere in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and makes it extremely plain that the rapture will indeed occur. And I realize that a lot of pastors are not preaching about the rapture anymore. But then again, a lot of pastors aren't preaching the gospel neither. Amen. Perhaps this is not a current thing that people feel this will get the people happy. I'm not trying to make y'all happy. I'm trying to warn you of what's going to happen. No, I don't know the time, but are you living ready for the rapture? Or as I said, raptured ready. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, this is what he writes, because the people were concerned that some of the people who had died already might miss this great event that is to come. And please don't misunderstand. Don't get the rapture and the revelation mixed up. Jesus is coming back to this earth, but not now. First, he'll meet the church in the air, and we shall be caught up. Later, according to Revelation 19, Jesus will be coming back to this earth. And when he comes, he'll be riding on a white horse. He'll have Lord of Lords on one side and King of Kings on the other when he comes back triumphantly. But first, the church must be caught up. Listen to what Paul says. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That means those have died. For ye sorrow not. I don't want you to be sorrowful as others that have no hope. For if we believe, come on, this is it right here, church. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do you believe it? This is where our faith comes in. If you believe, now if you don't believe, I can't help you, but if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, those have died in the Lord, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, or those already in the grave. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Graveyards going to bust open, and those that are died in Christ will be changed first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. The Bible says the dead in Christ will rise, and we shall be changed and rise, and together we will fly united. Amen. To meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We must be changed. He said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And we're to comfort you, not frighten you, but comfort you with these words, that if you're in Christ, it's the safest place in the world to be. Everybody realized that time is not long. Even sinners realize that something is coming up the road. Man is trying to get ready for the end time because they realize that times have gotten much, much worse than they ever was. If you watch the news, you'll know that you could be sitting on your living room couch watching TV and a bullet will come through the window. We driving at the drive-thru and somebody will carjack your car, take your life, rape and kill you. There's so much malice, so much mayhem, so much murder, so much strife in this world right now. These are treacherous times we live in. But then again, the Bible said these times would happen. Jesus tried to warn us in so many scriptures in the New Testament, especially in the Gospels. Jesus made it plain to us to get ready. He said that more than anything. He warned us. He warned not only the church, but he warned the Jews and the Jewish nation. Matthew 24:42, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Oh, he's coming. Matthew 25:13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Again, he is coming. Mark 13:33, take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Mark 13:35, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Luke 21:36, watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be counted worthy to escape all those things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is coming. He's coming for his church. And the warning is that you should live raptured ready. Ready at any moment. I've changed my calendar. I have nothing on my agenda but 2 days. This day and that day. You see, tomorrow was not promised to me, and yesterday already gone. But this day, I'm living raptured ready. Because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but if I make it to tomorrow, I'm going to live raptured ready tomorrow. You see, this day and that day when the Lord comes for me, whether he comes for me individually or come for me collectively as the church, I got to be ready. So the only 2 days on my calendar are this day and that day, and you need to get ready if you're not ready already. Yes. Brothers and sisters, because our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God, we've got to be changed. This old mortal body shall put on immortality. We shall be changed. I don't know what we're going to look like, but we're going to be different. Yes. See, we're going to go up to meet the Lord in the air, and when we come back 7 years later, we're going to be different. Yes. It's like this. A little farmer, his family were headed for the big city. They had never been to the big city. And so he took his family, his wife and his son and his daughter. When they came to the big city for the very first time, they witnessed all the tall skyscrapers and the buildings, and they seen the hustle and bustle of the traffic and all of the people. They were on their way to the bank there, and the bank was the tallest building. And the mother and the daughter were off somewhere, and the father and the son stood over, and they watched as these two silver doors opened up, and a plump older lady stepped inside this little bitty room, and the doors closed back up. There was a dial over the door that went from the left, it stopped, and then it went to the right. And when it went to the right, the doors opened back up, and this young, beautiful, slender woman stepped out of the little room. The father looked at the son looked at the father in amazement. And the father said, son, you stay right here. I'm going to get your mama. and run her through this thing here. The rapture's gonna be like that. We're going up one way, but we're coming down another. We shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Yes, Jesus told his apostles in 14 John 3, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I get there, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. So Jesus is coming, but he's coming first for his church. Titus 2:13 said, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We should be looking, preparing ourselves to receive the Lord. But there are scoffers, those who don't believe. There are scoffers in the church, scoffers in the world, scoffers even in the pulpit. 2 Peter 3:3 says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And some scoffers are saying, you've been preaching that Jesus is coming and he ain't came yet. But that don't mean nothing. He's still coming. Noah preached 120 years, it's going to rain. It had never rained before. But when it rained 40 days and 40 nights. Oh, Jesus is coming. Oh, you can believe that. Don't be a scoffer. Then the Bible says that first be a falling away. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2:2, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that by our gathering together unto him, that again speak of the rapture, that we be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand, is near. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, that's the Antichrist, be revealed. The falling away is already taking place right now, for the church has fallen away from the Bible, fallen away from fellowship and worship. The church don't even look like the church anymore. People come to church to be entertained more than to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And the problem of that is because we have been promised there would be false teachers. 2 Peter 2. Now, if I'm putting too much Bible on this, I hope y'all get up and get with this and write some of this down. This will help you later on. Yes, sir. Amen. This is like a good recipe for living. You get a good recipe, you want to write that down. Amen. 2 Peter 2:1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord, that brought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. People will follow these false teachers. Amen. These false preachers, because they like the way he hoop. Yeah. Or they like the way he sing. Don't care about how he live. And I've told all you preachers, the best sermon you ever preach is the one you live. Not the one you stand and proclaim. 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. And then we have to concern ourselves with this spiritualism that's taken the place of righteousness and faith, because now people want to be spiritual. Oprah Winfrey is spiritual. Spiritual ain't saved. Spiritual ain't righteous. It's just spiritual. Let me put it like, the devil is spiritual. All of his imps are spiritual. Now listen, this is what it says in the Bible, 1 Timothy 4, 1. Now the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It's already taken place. Haven't you noticed the change in these times? It's been said in the Bible, perilous times will come. 2 Timothy 3, 1. Know this, also in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Let me pause there. I'm watching how our televisions have brought in all of these people with unnatural affections. Seem like everything I turn on TV have people with unnatural affections. I'm trying to watch the Home and Garden Channel. Yes, I mean, come on, they want to fix up the house. And they got these two old lesbians buying a house together. Lord have mercy. I could see all this other mess on, but not the Home and Garden Channel. And then I turn on to fix it up, and I see two sisters just got married trying to fix up a house. Amen. I said, that ain't just it. I watched America Got Talent the other day, and they got this but 6'9" he/she on there, a transgender. Amen. I don't know, some of y'all seen it too. Amen. Had long hair. Amen. And I know Tyra Banks is tall, taller than Tyra Banks. Come in, sit down. Amen. I seen that thing when it hit that golden buzzer. I sure did. Some of you saw it too. Amen. What is this mess? And people accept this mess. I told you last year that Satan has dimmed the switch. Satan has done this. Satan has done this on purpose. He's trying to get us to accept this mess because our government has accepted it. Our society has accepted it. But don't you accept this mess, because God says it's an abomination unto him. It's despicable to God. Don't ever accept that as being normal. I told you about the normalcy bias, how Satan is trying to get us to accept the weird things, the queer things of this world as being normal. We cannot accept those things. No. It's perilous times. Yes, without natural affections. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And Paul said, from such, turn away. Get away from that. I know we got crazy people in our families, homosexuals in our family, but don't let them set the agenda for your life. Pray for them. Talk to them. Witness to them about the goodness of Jesus Christ. These are the last days, brothers and sisters. And they're heaping up treasures. People, I'm watching, they're telling you to buy silver and gold. Turn your cash into silver and gold, because after a while, your cash won't mean anything. Listen to what it says in James 5, 3. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. You think you can save something for the last days? Let me tell you something. If it don't leave you, you're going to leave it. James 5, 7, and 8. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Warning, warning, warning. Jesus is coming for his church. We shall be changed. The rapture will separate saints from sinners, husband from wives, children from their parents, brothers from sisters, sisters from sisters, brothers from brothers, friends from friends, acquaintances from acquaintances. It will be in the morning, noon, and night. It will be universal, affecting all time zones at an instant. Jesus will come and take his church out of here. And don't worry, because people will not believe Jesus did it. For the Lord will give them a delusion. They will believe a lie. All these people disappear. They'll believe a lie. Amen. But let me tell you what the rapture going to do. It's going to cancel all of your plans. All of your vacation plans. All of your family reunion plans. All your cruise plans. All your wedding plans, all your party plans. Rapture gonna cancel all that. And, if you gonna run and get your money ain't gonna do you no good. Because where I'm going, I ain't gonna need no money. Come on, where I'm going, I'm not gonna need a doctor no more. And where I'm going, ain't no hip replacement, knee replacement, shoulder replacement, amen. And all the doctors where I'm going already saved, they ain't practicing no more. Everything's gonna change. And you'll be surprised how many people don't want the Lord to come. Because I talked to a preacher the other day. He said, Reverend, I ain't ready for the Lord to come. I just started working on my building. I'm fixing my building up, and I don't want him to come before. Man, I'm gonna leave that building and everything else when the Lord comes. Don't you hold on to nothing. There is nothing more important in this life than you holding on to the unchanging hand of Jesus, preparing yourself for the rapture. That's what I'm talking about when I say you got to live raptured ready. The Bible tells us that Satan knew his time is short. Already he's doing some things to orchestrate his entrance in of his satanic trinity. Just as we have a holy trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, Satan has a trinity. It's called the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. You'll find the dragon, the anti-God, in Revelation 12, 7 through 17. You'll find the beast, the antichrist, in Revelation 13, 1 through 10. You'll find the false prophet, the anti-spirit, in Revelation 13, 11 to 17. Let me tell you about what the false prophet will do, as he will give life to a statue, to a beast, to an image. In Revelation 13 and 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he called it all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that hath the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of the name. Here's wisdom, verse 18. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it's the number of man, and his number is 666. It's 666. The mark of the beast. Now the prelude for the mark is already here. It's already here. As a matter of fact, it was the news this week that a company in Wisconsin has already implanted a microchip in 40 of their employees. They voluntarily done this. When the mark of the beast get here, you won't have to volunteer. You won't be able to buy or sell none unless you get the chip. It'll be in your right hand or your forehead. It serves as an ID. So in this company in Wisconsin, they can now scan by having a chip in their hand. They can scan the screen and they can enter the job. They can go to the soda machine and scan it, and a soda will come out and put it on their account. And that's where it's going to be. All of your credit and everything will be in that chip. They will know about your bank account. They'll know about everything in you. But don't be surprised. They already know everything about you. This government got all your information. Yeah, y'all kill me how you trying to hide your number, how to do password to get into your phone, from your husband, from your wife. What's your password? What you doing with my telephone? I don't know. So now we got where you can take one of your fingerprints and put it over your phone. So that will let you in. That'd be a password. Amen. Amen. I was watching on Facebook. This man was sleeping on the couch. His wife was trying to get in his phone, and while he was asleep, she took every finger he had and put it on the phone. And when that didn't work, she started trying his toes out. Still couldn't get in the phone. Now, he knew what was going on. He wasn't really asleep. And when she walked out the room, he kind of laughed. He grabbed his little puppy, and he put his puppy paw on the thing and opened up his phone with him. All of your information's up in the cloud already anyway. They know everything about you. And besides that, the devil know everything about you. He knows everything you like and what you don't like. And he's sending you things. He's sending you people in your life to distract you. And everybody in here are living in a time. This has never been a time before where we live in such distractions. This modern technology sometimes is a distraction. It keeps us away from the word of God. Keep us from praying. Keep us from witnessing. These are distractions. Satan has. He put some people in your life to distract you. Yes, he has. He's put some things in your life to distract you. Man, this is some terrible, evil times we live in. But believe, the mystery is now open. Jesus is indeed coming back. You got to live raptured ready. You got to know that he's coming. Each and every day he's coming. So you're living for this day and that day. It says in 2 Peter 3:10, seeing that all these things should be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in a holy conversation and godliness? He says the earth is going to change and meteorites are going to fall. Stars going to fall like figs from a fig tree. All this thing will happen. What kind of people should you be knowing these things? Well, first of all, you need to be believers. Believe that God's going to do exactly what he said he would do. What you believe is important. You can't just believe everything the world says. You must believe what the Bible says. Why do you believe it? Because God said so. When do you believe it? Every time I read it, I believe it. Well, it's changed your life since you first believed. Because I find out that a lot of times when we're first saved, we're more sanctified than ever. But over time, we go back into the world a little bit. You need to get yourself together and live raptured ready. You see, people want gain and they want glory. They want to be entertained. And that's one of the problems with the church now. People want to be entertained when they come to church. They want to get their church flow on. Now, ain't nothing flowing in here but the word of God. Amen. You need to learn how to live right. See, the problem is too many of us trying to live good, but I tell you, if you live right, God will let you live good. But you'll still be waiting for that time when the Lord comes. The Bible tells us what kind of people we should be. We should be patient people, loving people, watchful people. The Bible describes our conversation, our conduct, our manner of life, how we ought to look, how we ought to dress, how we ought to act. Our walk and our talk, our mindset, our direction. We must have a moral compass to keep us headed in the right direction. He tells us how our worship ought to be, our witness ought to be, our prayer life should be, studying the word of God, how that should be, our focus, all of these things, our state of awareness. Do you think that you look like you're headed for heaven? Can people tell by how you walk and talk and how you act that you're ready for the coming of the Lord? Well, don't be delusional. Amen. Jesus is coming. Yes, he is, sir. You see, some people don't believe their own depravity. A lot of times you think you're so sweet, you're so this and that, and sometimes you want to just kiss yourself. Amen. You're delusional because you've come down with that spiritual sugar diabetes where you think you're all this and you're all that, and you're not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Each day you ought to get up thanking God that he let you get up. Amen. I told you we need to stay in a state of repentance. I wake up some morning just repenting of the dream I had the night before. Amen. Lord have mercy. Spirit of the living God fall fresh on me. Amen. I need to be convicted so I can live the way God wants me to live on this day, prepared for that day. People don't want to hear the truth. I know some of you don't want to hear the truth, so I'm sorry you picked this Sunday to come, because the truth will make you free. Listen, let me conclude this, what Paul had to say when he got through telling him about the sting of death is sin and the strength of sin is the law. He said, but thanks be to God which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says, therefore, because of everything I've already said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Be steady in what you believe. Unmovable. So no one can move you or shake you. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. In those 7 years of tribulation upon this earth, the church will be raptured away and we will stand before Jesus Christ. During that 7 year time, 3.5 years of tribulation is coming upon this world like never before. And not only that, then the great tribulation is coming, the last 3.5. Now, I know what you're saying. It says in Acts 14:22, we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. Now, much tribulation is not like the great tribulation that's coming upon the world. For God has not given us the spirit of wrath upon us, where we would have to go through the great tribulation. We shall be raptured away, and we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And we won't be judged for our sin. We'll be judged by the works that we do. So you make sure that the work that you do is gold and silver and precious stone. Because wood, hay, and stubble will burn up at the judgment seat of Christ. Yes. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. And the Lord, everything you do, as a matter of fact, all that you do for Christ will last. It's the only thing that will last. Yes, Jesus warned us, the Apostle Paul warns us, tells us to be raptured ready. And his word is true, just as Jesus came the first time, he's coming back again. This time when they stood out there in the first chapter of Acts, he said, just as you see Jesus departing, that same Jesus is coming back. He's coming back, church, you better get ready because he's coming back. He came to do what he came to do. He came to deliver us, to save us from our sins. He fulfilled everything. He dotted every I, crossed every T, and did just what his Father told him to do. He came down here to die for us upon Calvary's cross. They whipped him. They beat him. They took him to a cross on a hill called Calvary. They nailed his hands and they nailed his feet. They put a crown of thorns upon his head. There he suffered, bled, and died upon that cross. He died for me. He died for you. All of our sins were put upon Jesus, who never committed a sin. But the precious blood of Jesus washes our sins away. They took him down and put him in a borrowed tomb he only needed for a weekend. And then early Sunday morning, he rose from the grave with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. And that same Jesus is coming back soon to take his bride. Read the 19th chapter of Revelation when you get the chance. He's coming back for his bride, the church. He's coming on a white horse riding, a sword protruding from his mouth. Yes, Jesus is coming, but he's coming for his bride first. Are you the bride? Are you ready? There you ought to be. You ought to live raptured ready. Please stand to your feet. The door to the church is open. Jesus is coming soon.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. And we hope that it was a blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, You can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.